Hello and welcome. My name's Holly Old. I'm an account director with Bennelong Funds Management, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Christiane Rader, portfolio manager at Cardinia Capital. Welcome, Christiane.
Hi, all. Thanks for having me.
2020 has been a very interesting and challenging year, many say unprecedented, and we'll touch on a little later how the Cardinia Absolute Return Fund has performed and how you've managed the fund during the various points of the market. But first, I just wanted to take a step back for our listeners and ask you to elaborate for us. What place does an absolute return fund like Cardinia have in a modern portfolio, and what differentiates you from a long-only fund?
Well, thanks, Holly. I mean, I guess, first of all, if you compare it to long-only managers, and most managers in Australia are long-only managers, we have the ability to go long and short, which with that shorting ability obviously makes us a little bit different for most. It's probably worth saying up front that we approach our shorts the exact same way as we approach our long. So we go through the same investment process depending on whether we're buying or shorting stocks. The only difference between ourselves and a long-only manager is that if a long-only manager undertakes analysis on a company and they identify a number of red flags, usually at that point in time, they put their pens down and they move on to the next company. We can actually do further work and we can actually potentially profit off a short sale by shorting the stock. So that gives us, I guess, more ability, more potential today, to take advantage of more opportunities, I guess, in the universe or the market set. What are some of the red flags that we're looking at? Well, we do look at companies that have weak balance sheets. We look at companies that are in shrinking industry sectors. We're looking at companies that are generating lower returns. We're also looking for companies that generate poor quality in terms of earnings, and that's usually a great signal. For us, if you identify companies that have, say, a cash conversion around 50%, sometimes even lower, it can often suggest that the earnings themselves are artificially overstated, and that they're overcapitalizing their expenses. So it's a lot of factors, indicators that we're looking for when we short a stock. We actually have a very active short book. The fund itself has been going for 14 years, and that's one of the longest in the marketplace. Most of our peers have established themselves well after the GFC. And the nice thing about that 14-year track record is that the strategy itself has been tested in both bull markets and bear markets. And so we have real confidence that the strategy works and it works well. Probably another differentiating feature of our fund is the way we manage it. We manage it quite conservatively. So there are very strict risk controls that are embedded within the strategy. And the reason why they were put in place is to ensure that the strategy doesn't take too much risk. So just to quickly run through them, we don't use financial leverage. Some of our other peer groups do. We don't. We have very disciplined stop loss measures in place. So once a position moves against us by 15%, we close it out, no questions asked. We have a limit in terms of our net exposure. That's taking our short positions away from our long positions of 75%. And we have a restriction in terms of our gross exposure, and that's adding our longs to our shorts of 150%. So our strategy doesn't take too much risk, and that means our volatility is so much lower than the underlying market. So our volatility for our strategy is around 7.5%. If you calculate on the standard deviation measure, that's versus the market around 14.5. So effectively half the volatility of the underlying market. And what that actually means is that when the markets fell back in 2008 during the GFC and fell over 40%, our strategy actually generated a positive return. And similarly, in 2020, in February and March, which were the worst months of it, the market fell over 36%. We only drew down 3.9%. So it means that we have a very strong focus on capital preservation. But what it also means is that we can generate positive returns in different market conditions. This year, for example, we're currently up around 8% for the year. And most of our clients, being either in retirement or close to retirement, they really appreciate that because at the end of the day, their first focus is on capital preservation. They don't really want to shoot the lights out. Whilst it'd be nice to have, there's a lot of risk that comes with that. They just want to chip away year in, year out with positive returns. Probably the last thing I would say is that we also have quite a large set of clients who actually blend our strategy with other managers. And the reason they do that is because our strategy is conservatively run, that the risk return metrics that fall out of that blending process can be quite attractive.
Yeah, fantastic. I feel like long, short or absolute return funds like Cardinia do seem to be demonised in the press. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably true to some degree, or it was in the early evolution of long-short funds. And to some degree, it's still there today. It's a real frustration for absolute return managers because in periods like early 2020, for those quality absolute return managers, they really stand up and come into their own and prove their true worth by generating positive returns or just not losing capital. There is a general perception out there that absolute return managers hunt in packs. They target higher quality companies. They artificially drive down prices to make a quick buck. And we've been running this strategy, as I say, for 14 years, and nothing could be further from the truth. First of all, we don't hunt in packs. I haven't really seen anyone in the Australian market do that. In terms of targeting quality companies, from a shorting perspective, it just doesn't make sense. The one thing that we know from running the strategy for so long is that fundamentals always reassert themselves eventually. And if you're trying to short a company without a fundamental basis for doing so, the second you stop selling it, the share price tends to bounce back to where it was. So if that was your strategy, that would be a very quick way of losing money. So we simply just don't do it. In terms of the level of sophistication, here in Australia, it probably has further to go. In the US, it's a much deeper, more sophisticated market. Absolute return funds have been operating, in the US for a very, very long time. So there's a very good understanding of our strategies. In Australia, I think, it is improving, particularly when you have good managers who are generating, positive numbers in down markets. Investors can't help but sit up and take notice and do the work. So we're certainly seeing a greater understanding across the board through time.
Fantastic. Yeah. I think that's a really good summation of some of the misconceptions that we have out there around absolute return or hedge fund strategies. And for my final question, I thought we might move and look a bit forward looking now, and it's been fantastic that you've shown capital preservation, as you alluded to, especially during periods such as the 2008 and so forth. How is the team and the fund set up for the future and looking forward?
Look, we think there's a very strong dynamic drive to open up economies, particularly the domestic economy here in Australia, now that the Victorian situation has been brought under control. We're seeing that with border restrictions coming down. So if you look further afield, look at the US and Europe, they're unfortunately experiencing further spikes in infections. But if you actually kind of dig into the detail, the way they're approaching the lockdown this time around versus the first wave is significantly different. This time around, it's a much more targeted approach. Germany, for example, is really targeting the restaurant, the bar, the nightclub scene versus a national lockdown, or a blunt instrument that shuts down the entire economy, which is what we saw the first time. They tried to control the virus. Biden in the US has already come out and publicly stated there will be no national lockdown in the US as well. So I think the approach has become a lot more sophisticated, and that will just continue to drive, I think, this opening up of economies through time. And then, of course, we've had the vaccine, and that provides a lot of optimism for markets more generally. Just let me just quickly just touch on the vaccine. A number of months ago, we really saw this as a key risk for the markets. Obviously, a positive announcement on the vaccine would see the markets drive higher. But the real risk that we saw was just a rotation that would go on between sectors on the announcement of a successful virus. We saw that a few weeks ago when Pfizer came out with their first clinical test results for their vaccine. It was interesting, the US market on the day actually spiked up 4%. ended up giving up around 3% of that rally in the last hour of trading. Australia opened up around 2.5%, and again, for the course of the day, gave up a lot of that rally and closed up around 60 or 70 basis points. And if you're just to look at the overall market movements on the back of what is a very significant announcement, you would be excused for thinking it was quite a benign reaction. But all the action really happened below the surface. And we saw a big rotation out of stocks that had benefited so well from a lockdown. I'm thinking here along the lines of kind of e-commerce retailers as Kogan and Temple & Webster and Redbubble, even JB Hi-Fi to some degree, rotating from those stocks into companies that would benefit so well from a reopening up of economies and the greater freedom of movement of people. And obviously Qantas fits into that bucket, Sydney Airport, Flight Centre, Star Entertainment. In our portfolio alone, we've been accumulating reopening stocks for a number of months in anticipation of this. Our portfolio itself comprised around 40 to 45% of its names were leveraged to this reopening theme. And those stocks were up around 6% on average, where our lockdown stocks that benefited from lockdown were down 8%. So it was a 14% differential, which is quite a material difference. So the reason I say all that is because I think positioning is going to be so important over the next 12 months. From our experience, when you see such an aggressive rotation all in one day, it tends not to finish after 24 hours. It tends to go on with it. I suspect there's going to be fits and starts over the next 12 months, but generally speaking, reopening trades will be the beneficiaries over 2021. QE, central banking support, is obviously providing huge amounts of stimulus for the market. That hasn't ended. That's still continuing. What we tend to find is when markets dislocate, like what we saw in February and March, it's central banks that really drive the recovery. Australia has joined the QE party. We saw that over the last couple of months. That's certainly having implications for the yield curve, the forward yield curve. That has a direct impact on yield stocks in the equity markets, and that will go on to have an implication for the Australian industrials, the banks, and real estate stocks, which we generally like. So whilst there are risks out there, we're very optimistic about the next 12 months and for market returns for 2021.
Fantastic. That was a great summary. Thank you, Christian. And thank you very much for your time today. And I hope our listeners, we've been able to provide some practical insights into shorting and absolute return funds and how we sort of think they really do actually deserve a place in today's portfolios and demystified some of the scariness, I guess, that's around hedge funds. The Cardinia team produce regular updates via their thought pieces titled The Long and Short. Please reach out to your Bennelong account director or our client experience team if you would like to receive these, or if you'd like some further information about the Cardinia Absolute Return Fund. Thank you again, Christian, and I look forward to chatting soon.
Thank you, Ollie.